WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Pierce Turner came from Ireland to New York 10 years ago looking for adventure. The young rock pianist and singer played the New York downtown clubs with his band, The Major Thinkers. Pierce Turner has been on his own now for the last few years and has just released his first solo album on RCA called It's Only a Long Way Across. The album was recorded in Philip Glass's studio and was produced by Glass and Glass's longtime collaborator, Kurt Mankese. Turner's music has been influenced by American rock and soul, as well as by the ballads of his native Ireland.
Spring still paints fire escapes with pauper shade. Radios rapid screech like trains. Figures floating through the sewing set. Some guy walks by suspended by the sky.
I guess it's a really lucky break on your first album to have Philip Glass co-producing and arranging the strings. How did you first meet Philip Glass?
I met Philip in the way that you would meet any person, really. I just, through an acquaintance. And, we became friends, but it took a while to develop an artistic relationship. Eventually, though, it came to a point where it made sense to ask him to do this album.
He arranged the strings on your album. And I think so frequently in any form of pop music, strings are there for sweetening. Which isn't the way they're used on your record. What was it? His suggestion to use strings, and what was your initial reaction to the idea?
My whole thing about strings is that I'm not interested in them being sweeteners at all. I think a synthesizer is actually a far better sweetener instrument than strings. I have always really admired driving strings and the way Beethoven used strings and the way George Martin for the Beatles used strings. So that's what I really wanted from Philip. And from the word go, I told him that. And he is the kind of gentleman that you can actually say something like that to, and he can really go for it, you know. And it wasn't a question of, oh, I'm a superstar, don't tell me what to do. He was very interested in nailing exactly what I wanted.
'Twas early in the month of July. It was one of those days when the blue bled the sky and the sun shone gold on the eve of the day, while the sailboats parked on Commercial Quay.
One of the things I really am exploring and I find really comfortable to do is to sing in a very legato fashion, where I really stretch the notes out in long, long, long holes. But I like the undercurrent to really move along at a fast pace. I like the backing to really move along behind me. And How It Shone is a good example, because it's about 118 beats per minute, which is as fast as any dance song that you're going to hear on the radio, but it sounds like a ballad the way I sing it.
You play piano on some tracks and synthesizer on others. You must have started off playing piano before learning synthesizer?
Yeah, definitely.
Did you have to figure out if a synthesizer was going to be an instrument that you wanted to use, and if so, what you were going to do with it?
Well, yeah, the thing is that being a keyboard player was always way too restrictive for me, and I was always an experimental keyboard player. I was never trained to be a keyboard player. And just my sister showed me how to play the chords on the piano when I was about 13 or 14, and I was really taken by the instrument. But immediately I stuffed newspaper into the strings so that they would buzz and stuff like that. So when I heard about the synthesizer, I immediately said, I must have this thing. I mean, I heard this thing, and I thought, well, this is just perfect, because, you know, I was a frustrated keyboard player in that I couldn't get it to do enough wild things for me anyhow.
You're from Ireland, from Wexford?
Yes, Wexford, Ireland.
Do you feel like you've taken anything musically from Ireland in either your singing, your playing, or your songwriting?
Oh, definitely. I mean, growing up in Ireland, in a place where there's not a sky in the clouds instead of a cloud in the sky. I mean, it's just a strange experience. It's a very dark experience, and it's people from Ireland aren't dark, but they have an overtone of darkness to them. But they're very cynical and very witty, and growing, and also they love slow songs. You know, I mean, Irish people just never stop singing slow songs. You have a sing song in a bar, I mean, it's like you feel like committing suicide when you leave the bar. And I mean, I couldn't help but really absorb that.
Well, I saw you last night.
Do you think you've taken that kind of slow singing and backed it with more of a dance beat?
Definitely, because even though I was being raised in that atmosphere, I actually rejected Irish music entirely when I was growing up there, because it represented a different age group, and it represented Irish traditionalism and nationalism, and I wasn't interested in that as a youth. I was interested in being a rock and roll star or something like that. But now I'm interested in all that stuff, and I appreciate all that stuff now. But what I was interested in at the time was people like Otis Redding and American soul. So I absorbed a lot of American soulful rhythms, a lot of the rhythms of that music, and that fascinated me. And I think that unwillingly I was absorbing all this Irish stuff too, and now I think all that stuff's starting to come together, a combination of Irish lyricism and American soul in some weird way.
Now, you had a partner in Ireland named Larry Kirwan. Mm-hmm. And you moved with him to America to get established
right.
here. What made you decide, okay, it's time now, we're getting out?
Well, we weren't too clear about this. We were pretty young, you know. We weren't too smart. It wasn't like we sat down and said, now, this sounds like a really good move. In fact, this is one of the things I really found out a difference between myself and, say, the Beatles or any band or any artist that really makes it. In a big way, that they really do think about these things. If I go to America, then I will, you know, get a record deal this way and all that stuff. I didn't think that way. We came here for adventure. We came to check this country out, to see what this amazing place was that we'd seen so many films about, and we were very curious about it.
You know, your new record is a really different sound from a record that you had a few years ago called Avenue B.
Mm-hmm.
Describe what you were doing on Avenue B.
Avenue B is a product of us rehearsing on Avenue B, the band Major Thinkers. We rehearsed in a very, very dingy rehearsal studio there.
This is Avenue B in Manhattan?
Yeah, Avenue B in Manhattan, yeah, at Lower East Side. And we were playing there, and we were just having fun, really. And we said, Avenue B is the place to be. If you want to find me, come to Avenue B, you know. And we just thought that was really funny, and we started fooling around with that and jamming on that idea, you know, ding, 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 you know, just, and the rhythms that are on there are very influenced by the Spanish people in the neighborhood. I mean, they're always playing the beer cans and hitting them, and you can just always hear drums in that neighborhood.
Did you put out the record independently?
Yeah, we put it. We couldn't get a record deal, but Epic Records were interested in us. And at this point now, we were starting to get smart. We were starting to get strategies together and understand the game. And what we did was we simply sent the record to an Irish record company who we knew they would put it out. Then we had it imported to America. This was all the plan, by the way. Was imported to America by Important Records, and then immediately we thought radio stations would like what we had to say. You know, record companies said, "Oh no, they'll never play it in the radio," and the radio stations got it and played it.
So you really did get smart.
We got what? Yeah, we got smart. Yeah, I'm getting smarter all the time.
Pierce Turner's debut album is called It's Only a Long Way Across. On April 23rd, Turner begins a national tour opening for the Smithereens. You're listening to Fresh Air.